Welcome, everyone, to episode 34 of Chat with a Cat. This is being recorded on Saturday, Pi Day 2026. We've had four draft picks in as people get an early start on the draft, but I wanted to follow up on something I mentioned in my last pod, and that is to do a draft preview Chat with a Cat. And there's generally two ways, I think, to go about doing a draft preview. You can either look at the draft pool, or you can look at the teams and try to do a mock draft or try to figure out, you know, where teams are going, what they want to do. I'm going to try to do both here. So I'm going to start by analyzing the draft pool and just kind of giving my initial take on how things break down. And then after I've gone through and done that, I'll try to do a little bit of mock drafting, including maybe reading a few tea leaves from the off season, and trying to figure out, at least for those picks that are in, why they went the way they did. And for those that are not, what do I think is going to happen for the remainder of the draft? So we're going to get started by analyzing the draft class. And I think, at least in my mind, you can kind of split the draft class, at least the first round picks, everybody knows the second round usually doesn't matter, into five basic tiers. The first tier are players that you would want to definitely trade up for. Then there's a tier of guards, basically, that I think are all, I don't want to say kind of the same, but they're all going to be solid starters, not stars. So I think you've got your superstars, you've got starters, you've got some contributors, you've got some fringe guys, and then you've got guys that, you know, maybe I don't think are probably worth chasing down. So we're going to start at the top, and that is the star tier. And I think there are four players in the star tier. They actually went picks 1, 2, 3, 4, so it seems like the league agrees with me. Basically, if you're looking for a point guard, I think Rod Strickland starts out your star tier. He's got an excellent perimeter defense and steal numbers. He's got good jumping ability, so he's athletic. He's got excellent handles. Not a great scorer yet, but has the potential to become so in time. So, you know, when you look at Strickland, you've got eight potentials in handling and passing. The passing rating is only a 46 right now. He's got B's in inside jump shot, perimeter defense, and steal. So he's got a high ceiling, but he's going to take a little bit of time to develop. But he's definitely the best point guard in this class as far as prospects. So Strickland is, at least to me, if you're looking for a point guard, he is the star level player. On the other side of the spectrum, you have Roni Cicely, not Roni Cicely, as he has sometimes been called. And Cicely is your big man that I think is worth spending a, you know, a high pick on. He's got excellent rebound ratings, a B post defense potential. He's already got a 63 in post defense, a B block potential, already has a 69 in blocks, has the inside game, has some athleticism. So I think if you're looking for a big man in this draft, he was the guy that you were going to go after. And then there's two, there's two shooting guards. I think Hersey Hawkins may be a little bit more of a combo guard. So let's start with him. Hawkins is a player that comes into the league, again, not quite to his potential. He's got B's in inside jump shots, A's in free throws and three-point shooting. He's currently got a 45 in inside, so that's going to go up. His three-point shooting is 73. That's going to go up. His handles and passing are both C potential, but he's got a 56 and a 45, so he's already probably there. Perimeter defense and steals, B's and A's, pretty athletic player. So if I'm trying to project where he is right now, I think he's a good defender, if a little bit undersized at 6'3", with good offensive potential, and he's not going to hurt you with his handles and passing. So I really like him. Probably not as your true number one guard, but if he's your second best guard, you're going to be in very good shape. And of course, then there's Mitch Richmond. Mitch came in ready to contribute right away. I think he's a guy that could average 25 points as a rookie. He's got an 88 inside, a 74 jump shooting, and a 72 three-point shooting. The jump shooting being a B potential is probably as developed as it's going to be, but he's got C potentials in handles and passing, so those should increase. The defense is a little bit suspect. I think, you know, he's got a 53 now and a C rating. The steals can get better. He's got a 40 and a B rating. So he's a little more offensive than defense. So he does have some weaknesses on the defensive end. That's probably something you could throw some points at and improve. But again, he's going to come into the league and light it up right away. He's got incredible quickness, good strength, a pretty decent jump score. So athletically, he'll be able to get off his own shots. Obviously, with an inside rating of 88, he's very good at getting it off. And so I think Richmond is a little more offense. Hawkins is a little more defense. So depending on which way you tend to lean, that probably determines things. Also, Richmond has, at 6'5", more size for a shooting guard, albeit he is a couple years older than Hawkins. He's 23, and Hersey is 21. So, you know, Richmond won't have as many seasons to try to make a leap as Hawkins will. After that tier, you have what I call the big wash of guards. And I know Dan Marley and Chris Morris are listed as small forwards, but if you look at their rebounding ratings, you know, Marley has a 48 and a 47 CC. Morris, on the other hand, has a 64 offensive rebound, but just an 18 defensive AC potentials. So he doesn't rebound really like a forward. You know, he can get some on the offensive glass, but these guys are really guards. So, you know, just looking at, you know, based on the mock draft, you've got John Starks, Gary Grant. They've got Will Perdue up there, which I think is a little bit surprising. I think he's a little overrated there. But Rex Chapman, Dan Marley, Brian Shaw, Steve Kerr, Scott Brooks, Chris Morris, Vern Maxwell, Kevin Edwards, Vinny Del Negro. All of these guys are various flavors of guard. I think Rex Chapman is the one who is most ready to contribute now. He's got 71 and 74 in his inside and jump shot ratings. So I think he's the guy that you would go after if you wanted immediate productivity. Problem is, his defense is kind of lacking. On the flip side, you have, say, a John Starks, who has just a 37 inside, a 29 jump shot. He's going to take time to grow into that potential. But he's got a 75 perimeter defense and a 65 steal. So Starks is ready to be a defensive stopper right now. Somewhere in between, you have most of the other players. Gary Grant and Kevin Edwards, both are guys that look like they're a little more defense heavy and could have some issues on offense. Vernon Maxwell is definitely an offensive player. Dan Marley is a guy who could wind up doing a little bit of both. Brian Shaw's more of a point guard, but again, he's got kind of a combo guard feel. He has the ball handling and the passing that you would want out of a point guard, but the rest of his ratings really speak to me more as a shooting guard. So he feels kind of like a guy cut in the frame of Craig Elo, who's a shooting guard that happens to be a good ball handler and passer. Steve Kerr is, of course, in the real NBA, he's the league's all-time three-point shooting leader, which makes sense in game. He's got an 83 three-point shot, so he's going to come in able to stick the threes when he takes them. And that's the thing, is we aren't seeing teams shoot a ton of threes right now. But the other thing that Steve has that I think is kind of interesting for a shooting guard, he's not a great passer, but he's an exceptional ball handler. Yeah, he's got an 88 handles rating. So, you know, Steve is a guy that you can bring in and you can expect him to fill it up from distance without doing a lot of turnovers. Now, he's probably going to rely on other people to create for him. He's only got a 41 inside rating, but with a 64 jump shot and an 83 three-point shooting rating, he's ready to go. So it really depends on, you know, with all of these guards. And again, you've got, let's see, Starks, Chapman, Marley, Shaw, Kerr, Maxwell, Grant, Edwards, and Morris, and Del Negro. There's like 10 guards that are all, you know, about the same. Some of them are a little better on offense, a little better on defense, a little better on handles. All of them are not great except for Chris Morris at rebounding. None of them great at post defense. So you're really looking at, you know, deciding what is important to me. Do I want more offense? Do I want more defense? Maybe it's based on who else is on your team. The next tier is what I would call productive rotation players. And I think there's probably, I'm going to say five of them. And these are the guys that are green potential, but they're bigs. And I think because of the focus the league has right now on bigs, with one exception, and I'll get to him in a minute, but because I think the league has a focus on bigs, these guys might be a little more ready to go and plug in than you think. And that is going again in the order that they appear in the mock draft: Will Perdue, Rick Smits, Danny Manning. These are three of the four. Oh, I missed him, and Charles Smith. So Rick Smits and Charles Smith are more offensive players that are kind of weak defensively. I mean, Smits has good post defense with his size, but his defense for a guy who's, or his rebounding rather, for a guy who's 7'4", having a 38 defensive rebounding rating and only a 62 block, leaves a lot to be desired. So Smits is, he's an offensive savant, I think, but defensively, he leaves something to be desired. Charles Smith has a 74 inside rating, so he can score out of the gate, but he can't shoot jump shots. He doesn't rebound. He doesn't defend. Smith is another one-dimensional player. Will Perdue doesn't have the offense, but he does have a 63 offensive rebounding rating, and he's got the ability. He's not there yet, but he's got A's in rebounding. He's got B in post defense and B in block shots. So given 2 or 3 years, he's probably going to blossom into a defensive anchor. What he's not going to be, unless you put points into him, is a good offensive player. So again, these players can contribute, but they have significant holes in their game. And then the last guy is Danny Manning. He's an interesting player. He's got good potential in inside. He's got an A. He's got B potential in steals and blocks. And then he sees everywhere else. So I think in probably 3 to 4 years, he's probably a good offensive player. But he's going to need help. You know, he's not great at handling. He's not great at rebounding. He's not great at defense. He's good at the stats part of defense, the steals and the blocks, but he's not good at one-on-one defense. So I suspect, if he gets a boost or two in TC, he might turn into a monster. But as it is, he's probably a number three guy on a championship team at his peak. He'll be the guy that kind of does a little bit of everything, maybe a taller Scottie Pippen without the passing. So that's kind of the next tier I see. The fourth tier is kind of reminiscent of the second tier. It's a bunch of guards that do one or two things well. Ricky Berry is a good three-point shooter. Scott Brooks has good handles. Michael Williams does good on steals. Avery Johnson's a good ball handler and defender, but he's super short, so you got to be careful there. Anthony Bowie is kind of the guy who doesn't do anything particularly well. And then Andrew Lang and Jim Less are kind of the guys that are just hanging around. I think Andrew Lang maybe sticks in the league because he rebounds and blocks shots. Offensively, he's awful. But anybody who rebounds and blocks shots is probably going to be able to find some time on a roster. And then Jim Less is a three-point shooter. That's about it. So if you're looking for a guy that can stand on the perimeter and knock down threes, Les can get that for you. I think it's possible Les even slips into the second round, though, just because he's very, very raw and he's only got one marketable skill. And yes, shooting threes would be important in today's game, but with the volume of three-point shots that are going up right now, I don't see this being something that people are chasing after in the present league. But maybe I'm wrong and he'll go earlier. So, again, what I expect to see now that we've gotten through the top four is there's going to be, for people that want to get in, it's probably going to be, some attempts to trade in. But what I don't think we're going to see is a lot of trading among, say, picks 5 through, 13, 14, because it's all kind of the same guy. Maybe you see some people trading out of 12, 13 if all the guys that, you know, if they want defense, all the defensive guys are taken, or they want offense, and all the offensive guys are taken, they're willing to jump out because that's not what they're after. But I don't think you're going to see a ton of movement among those late lottery picks, you know, trying to trade up or trying to get your guy, because, you know, if you look at the mock draft, right now, number 5 is John Starks, and number 13, even number 14 is Vernon Maxwell. Number 15 is Kevin Edwards. Number 16 is Vinny Del Negro. Is there that big a difference between John Starks and Vinny Del Negro? I don't know that there is. You know, maybe a few points worth, but you're going to wind up getting about the same player. So this, it's one of the things that I've been noticing, actually, as I've been looking around, prepping for free agency and looking for trades. There's not a ton of I guess, middle-class guards in the league. You got your superstars. You got your Michael Jordans. You got your Magic Johnsons. You got your Clyde Drexlers. You've got guys that are bad, but what you don't have is a middle class. You don't have guys that are, I mean, they're okay. They're not great. They're not horrible. They just came into league this year. So that is what this class seems to be giving us, is a whole bunch of what I would call middle-class starting guards. You know, these are probably guys that average 12 to 16 points a game. They're never going to carry your team. They're probably not going to hurt you either, but you know, that's what you're getting at this point in the draft. So I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to turn it around, and we're going to analyze the first 4 picks to see why people picked what they did, see what tea leaves I'm reading out of that, and then we're going to look at trying to mock at least through the lottery and maybe a little later on in the draft. I don't think it's worth going all the way down to pick 24. So with that, I'll take a break, get a drink, and be back in a moment.
No, not the ball player, the attorney at law. Let me ask you a question. Would it be okay if someone did this to you? How about if they did this?
Who are you? What are you doing in my yard?
I fight for your rights as a human being. I've sued over 2,000 canines, and I'm willing to do it for you.
I dropped the kids off at my mother-in-law's house, and her dog stuck its nose in my crotch. Wave Blazing Game got me $4,000.
I've been responsible for over 23 dogs put down, and 3 more are scheduled to die. Dogs don't deserve special treatment. They have to play by the same rules we do.
I was delivering the mail, and this dog had came out of nowhere and barked at me. Wave Blazing Game sued them, but we lost. Wayne told me for $50 he'd kill a dog.
I did not tell him that. Look, am I happy that that dog is rotting in hell? Yes. Did I personally inject a steak with poison and feed it to the dog? No. So remember, you wouldn't let a person do this to your yard. So don't let some egg-sucking dog do it. Call me, Wade Blazing Game, or my brother, Doug, for a free consultation, and we'll get you justice.
Call Wade Blazing Game. He's man's best friend.
On the next episode of Road Kids...
Welcome to Eastside Hospital, kids. Scrub up, grab a gown. Today, you're all going to be surgeons.
Surgeons?
Excellent.
Oh, my God.
No way.
Cool.
I'll confess, at first I was a little nervous. Being a roadie for Van Halen was one thing, but this was serious surgery.
The doctor asked if anybody'd ever performed an angioplasty before.
I was like, wow, this is going to be really tough.
Okay, Kenny, you're going to need to make an incision right there, but be careful not to get the left ventricle.
Wait, you mean right here? Oh, my God. Oh, gauze?
Surgery was definitely a challenge, but the doctors were very helpful, even after Kenny killed that guy.
Hey, the freaking camera guy bumped my arm.
You know, Kenny, you really need to take more responsibility.
I think, having to do surgery, we learned a lot about ourselves.
I can't wait for our next adventure.
Hey, look, what's that under a spleen?
It's our next clue. Hey, guys, we're going to be maximum security prison guards.
Catch it all on the next Road Kids.
Tonight, after The Real World, Trenton.
As promised, I'm back. We'll start by taking a look at the top of the draft order. That was the Kansas City Kings. As you can tell, I'm just looking at Kings. And Darth had the number one overall pick. And if you remember, I mentioned there are four players that I think were top tier potential players. You had Rod Strickland as a point guard, Hersey Hawkins and Mitch Richmond as guards, and Roni Cicely as the center. And so if you look at the Kings' current roster, it's pretty thin, but they've got Thurl Bailey, Reggie Miller, and Mark Price. So Mark Price means they don't really need Rod Strickland. So we can kind of throw that out as a guy they might want to run with. Thurl Bailey had an amazing year at center last year. If I'm Darth, I don't think I want to mess with that. So that probably rules out Cicely. And that means we're left with the choice between Mitch Richmond and Hersey Hawkins. And as I mentioned earlier, Mitch Richmond is a fully formed offensive player with some defensive liabilities. Hersey Hawkins is a potential offensive threat with good defense, but not their own offense yet. Knowing Darth loves offense, I'm not at all surprised that he went with Mitch Richmond. And so what the Kings are going to throw at you next season, just with the four guys currently on their roster, are Bailey, who averaged, 26 points a game last season? Did he finish with? I'm doing this off memory. Let me look. 26.9. Yeah, so Bailey can score it. Reggie Miller last year averaged 18. He's only going to get better this year. You know, his inside rating is a 40. He's got a potential of B, so he's going to get better. I mentioned I think Mitch Richmond can probably average, an easy 25 a game. Mark Price is going to be their floor general. He's already got an A rating in handles and passing with 92 and 80 respectively. So I think the Kings look like they're almost ready to go. And I say almost because I'm a little concerned about rebounding. Reggie Miller is not a great rebounder. Mark Price is a horrible rebounder. Mitch Richmond is a below average rebounder. Thurl Bailey is a little bit of a lightweight rebounder for a center. So I think if I'm trying to guess what the Kings are trying to add in free agency, they're looking for big bodies. They're looking for rebounding. And given that none of their guys is particularly renowned as a defender, I think Bailey is probably a little bit underrated. His post defense rating is 76. His block rating is 84. And he averaged 3.2 blocks a game last season. But I think that's probably what Darth is looking for. He's looking for a power forward that is not going to screw things up. Darth wants to compete. So he is going to be going for some of the biggest names out there. He's going to be swinging for the fences. He has tons of money to work with. So, you know, reading the tea leaves, that's where I see him going. He's going all offense with the exception of Price, who's going to be given the task of passing the ball around and averaging 12, 13 assists. So, again, that's a pretty straightforward read, and I don't think that surprises anybody. Second team on the clock would have been the San Diego Clippers. The Clippers are a team that has Ron Harper, Reggie Lewis, Ricky Wilson. They've got Chris Dudley, Cadillac Anderson. They've got Purvis Short, Marcus Johnson. What are they missing? They're missing a point guard. They've been missing a point guard since they traded away Reggie Theus. Rod Strickland is on the board. He's a perfect fit. So both for talent and for fit, you can see exactly why the Clippers wanted to go with Strickland. He hopefully activates Lewis and Harper. He lets Chris Dudley be an offensive threat. Chris Dudley is never going to be an offensive threat, but he gives somebody who might be able to throw a few lobs at Dudley and maybe get some production out of him. I think Purvis Short, playing power forward, he's a little bit undersized, but I think, you know, he can continue to be an offensive star here. So, I like the Rod Strickland pickup. The Clippers will be patient with him and let him develop. You know, as I mentioned, he needs some time for his offense to come around. But with the Clippers, he's got that. Next up were the Knicks. And the Knicks are a team that I thought was, you know, kind of in transition. They've got Johnny Dawkins is a young point guard, so they really didn't need that. They're deciding at this point between Hawkins and Cicely. Derek McKee is a little bit undersized and a little bit under-talented at power forward. I suspect they're looking to bring back Buck Williams at power forward, who was there last season. And so the Knicks really could use either Cicely or Hawkins. They elected to go with Hawkins, which I think makes them a little undersized in the backcourt. But if you take a look at who they've got right now, they've got Don Collins, who's great at defense and steals. Mitchell Anderson, great at defense and steals. Darnell Valentine, great at defense and steals. Johnny Dawkins, great at defense and steals. Hersey Hawkins, great at defense and steals. So he fits right in there. Clearly, the Knicks are a team that is thinking defense. It's also a little bit interesting to me that the 76ers in real life backcourt of Hawkins and Dawkins has been put together. We'll see how well they perform in this iteration of reality. And so that to me is kind of an interesting thing out of the Knicks. I think they have a lot to do in terms of building their front court, but I think their backcourt is settled for a while and there's something to be said for that. Next up was the Hornets. They did wind up picking Cicely. And he fits nicely with what Nick was able to do. When I was talking about the mock expansion draft and then the actual expansion draft, I pointed out that big men were a little bit thin in the expansion draft. I think he managed to get a couple of good ones in Rambus and Duckworth. By picking Cicely, Cicely now slots in as their center of the future. You got Rambus who can play power forward. Duckworth can back them both up. You've now got Jay Vincent and Jeff Malone at the backup or at the wing spots and Sadiel Threed or Darwin Cook as guards. So Nick has a team that has all the pieces. Are they going to be good quickly? Probably not. I think, you know, there's still some growing pains here. There's a lot of guys that maybe like to shoot more than they should. But you can see the Hornets team structure coming together. You know, Nick will eventually need to replace Rambus and Vincent. They're his oldest players in the rotation. But he's got a solid foundation to work from. And so now we get out of the who has been drafted and who is up. And so we would start with the Nets at number five. The Nets are an interesting case to me. You know, they've got Dale Ellis. They moved off of Eddie A. Johnson. They've got Fat Lever, who is an excellent rebounder for a guard. They've got Charles Oakley and Herb Williams, who are both excellent rebounders in the front. Clark Kellogg. So what they're trying to do is trying to find an upgrade over Kevin Gamble. And Gamble's main attraction, as you look at his ratings, is basically shooting. He's a shooter. I'm curious to see here. I think this could go either way. RPF could try to get a guy who's not a shooter but a scorer if he wants that. I think Rex Chapman is the guy. As I mentioned before, Rex has over 70 ratings in both inside and jump shot. He's got a 61 in three-point shooting. So he's ready to go and doesn't make you any worse defensively than you were with Gamble. So he's definitely a step up right now. The other thing to recognize about Rex is at 20 years old, he's got the most opportunities to get training camp boosted of all the remaining players. So he's both young and he's offensively polished right now. So if I were a betting man and I thought the Nets were going for offense, which I think they probably should be going for because, you know, you got Clark Kellogg, you got Dale Ellis, you got Fat Lever. If you add a fourth guy that they have to watch, you can't really double team anybody. Herb Williams can score. They just make themselves a matchup nightmare. But if, for the sake of argument, I were to guess that they were going to go for defense, the guy I think they probably go for is the guy the mock draft has them going for, and that's John Starks. Because Starks is already an excellent defensive player, has good offensive potentials down the line, and if they don't want to take shots away from their stars now, that would be the way that I would think they would want to do it. The sixth pick belongs to the Seattle Supersonics. I'm pretty certain, looking at their roster, that they really wish that they could have gotten up to try to draft Cycli. And the reason I say that is their big hole right now is at center. I mean, they nominally have Sidney Green, and Green is a monster on the glass. He's kind of mediocre on offense. Ed Pinckney is kind of mediocre on offense and okay on the glass. They don't really have a true small forward. I think they would like to be able to slide Green and Pinckney down one spot each because they're both, you know, a little bit undersized at 6'9 to be a center and a power forward. But they're not going to be able to do that unless they reach. Could they reach and go for a Will Perdue or a Rick Smits? Should they reach and go for a Will Perdue or a Rick Smits? I think the answer is no. I think they are committed to continuing to accumulate pieces around Kevin Johnson. But I will say what I think their team really needs is an offensive focal point. As I mentioned, Green's an okay scorer. Pinckney can score it. Terry Teagle can score a little. Kevin Johnson can score. But they don't have a guy who is the focal point of their offense. And they're a little bit redundant with Sundvold and Johnson in the backcourt. So I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I'm going to say they might reach and grab Rick Smits because they've got the rebounding around Smits with Sidney Green and Ed Pinckney. And Smits gives them an offensive focus on the inside. And I think he'll do that better than Brad Lowhouse does. So There is my, I guess, reach prediction is I think the Supersonics might just reach down and try to pluck up Rick Smits. Next up is the Nuggets. The Nuggets last season had another year where they're trying to build around Clyde Drexler. They've got their wings in Daryl Griffith and Drexler, so they're not interested in picking up, or they shouldn't be interested probably, in picking up yet another shooting guard or small forward, which is really what's on the board here. So if they keep the pick, I would think that probably their best option is to go to Brian Shaw because he is I mentioned he's kind of a combo guard, but he's a combo guard who can handle the ball and pass really well. And I think that gives them a guy who can set up Drexler and Griffith. And the other thing is Shaw has good size. At 6'6", he'd be a big point guard. He'll make some matchup problems. He lets them get off of Dennis Johnson, who is 33 and is just going to decline some more this season. I think the Nuggets are the team most likely to trade out of their pick just because, like, the top six or seven talents on the board are basically redundant with what they've already got. If they can find a deal that lets them get either a point guard or a big man or two, I think that's the move for them. At number eight, we have the Lakers. The Lakers had a blow-it-up year after moving off of Magic Johnson. I think, you know, for them, they're an interesting bunch. They've got, I think, their point guard of the future in Kenny Smith. They got Hot Rod Williams and Detlef Schrempf at center and power forward. So what they really are looking for is a small forward or a shooting guard. Unfortunately, there are a ton of them here. The other thing about the Lakers is they've got both the number 8 and the number 10 picks, so they can take two cracks at this. So I can see them doing something like grabbing one offensive-minded player. If he's still on the board, that would be a Rex Chapman. But if not, maybe they go after a Kevin Edwards or a Chris Morris and one defensive-minded player. I guess Kevin Edwards is more of a defensive-minded player, but I think Kevin Edwards might be the right pick for them here because he kind of swings both ways. But I can see them going for a guy who's more offensive-focused, more defensive-focused. Maybe they want to go with Dan Marley. Dan gives them a little bit of everything. They might want to go with Steve Kerr and lean into shooting threes. They've already got Kenny Smith. They've got Detlef Schrempf. They've got John Paxson, who are all good three-point shooters. So, yeah, maybe that's the way they want to go. It's hard to know for certain what they want to do, but if I were in their shoes, again, I'm going to assume that, you know, John Starks, Rex Chapman are probably off the board. I'm thinking I probably do something like Dan Marley and Kevin Edwards. That gives me two guys that have a little bit of two-way potential. And if one of them pops in training camp, then I've got something to go with, and if not, that's okay. At number 9 are the Indiana Pacers. Right now, the Pacers, they've got Muggsy Bogues, they've got Joe Klein, Armon Gilliam, and Manute Bol. Manute Bol is kind of a one-trick pony with blocking shots. That's about all he does. Armon Gilliam is a scorer. Muggsy Bogues handles the ball, but they need talent. They'll probably be bringing back Jerome Kersey, but they're probably happy to be in a position where they got 3 or 4 guards to choose from. I think they could go with Gary Grant, because I think Grant has one of the more developed offensive games, especially if Chapman and Brian Shaw are off the board. And they do need offense, make no mistake about it. If they don't go with Grant, they might try Chris Morris. They might try Vinny Del Negro. I think Vinny Del Negro is kind of a sneaky pick later on in the draft here. Again, he's in that group of guys that are all roughly the same. But the reason I think somebody might, you know, lock in on Del Negro is if you look at his ball handling and you look at his jump shooting, he becomes a guy who, again, is a lot like Craig Elo. He's not going to be your point guard, but what he is likely to develop into is a knockdown shooter who never turns it over. And there's something to be said for having a team where you have a guy that just is solid. He'd probably be an exceptional fifth starter, might even be a good fourth starter. And given where the Pacers are picking and what's on the board, maybe that's what they want to go with. With the 10th pick, we already talked about the Lakers at number 8, so we're going to move on to the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers have David Greenwood, Del Curry, Michael Adams, Spud Webb. What I'm seeing here is a lot of undersized shooters. They've got Horace Grant, but that's really their only young big man of consequence. So just as I mentioned, the Sonics might make a reach pick for Rick Smits. I can see them making a reach pick for Will Perdue. They have David Greenwood who can score it. Michael Adams can score it. Spud Webb is going to shoot it. Horace Grant should eventually develop. And so what they need is somebody who's going to play defense, hit the boards, get rebounds. And I think Perdue can do that for them. If they don't go with Perdue, I could see them trying to go for a Chris Morris and just get, you know, he's the biggest guy among all of these, small forward shooting guard types at 6'8". So maybe Morris is the pick there. Kind of tough to tell, but I think, you know, the Cavaliers, they need to find a guy who does something well, and I don't know that that's going to be left for them on the board at this point. Next up is the Suns. The Suns have Brad Doherty and Karl Malone as their bigs. They're going to be bringing John Stockton back almost certainly in RFA as their point guard. So they're a team that is looking for a shooting guard. They're probably happy to be picking where they're at because the decisions will be winnowed down for them. There will probably be 3 to 4 guards on the board. I'm expecting them to lean defense because they've already got all the offense they need in Malone and Doherty. And so, again, if they're leaning defense and these guys are available, I could see them going to John Starks. I could see them going to Kevin Edwards. I could see them going to Gary Grant. They might consider somebody like a Dan Marley if he's still on the board. Even Vernon Maxwell's defense isn't awful. So they're probably going to be happy with whoever is left. They're going to take a guy that can at least defend some, maybe give him a 3-point threat around Doherty and Malone. But, you know, in general, I think the Suns will be happy with whoever is on the board. We roll back to the Nets. I mentioned before they're going to be happy to pick up somebody at pick number 5. This time I think they probably pick best player available. And this is kind of a backup pick. So if their number 5 pick doesn't work out, they've got another shooting guard ready to go. I thought they probably would go Rex Chapman at 5. And if that's the case, maybe they decide they want to go with, and I'm trying to think of who's probably left here. If you look at the mock, it's probably a Vernon Maxwell, a Kevin Edwards, a Chris Morris, a Vinny Del Negro. They'll take one of those guys to give themselves just an extra crack at getting, you know, getting some things done. Next up is the Philadelphia 76ers. Philly is kind of resetting. Moses Malone is 33. He's still going to be a force, but he's aging rapidly out, and he's on the final year of his contract. So this is another team where I can see Digi trying to pull a rabbit out of his hat and go with a big. The problem is, if I'm correct, Rick Smits and Will Perdue will already be off the board. So I can see him going for maybe an Andrew Lang for the bulk. He could maybe go for Charles Smith for the offense. He could go for Danny Manning for the well-rounded game. The more I think about it, the more I think he actually does go Danny Manning. It's a bit of a reach pick here, but you know, I think Digi is playing Joe Dumars already as an undersized small forward. He doesn't need to grab another guy who's a little bit on the small side. I think he needs to get some beef. But if he, you know, again, I could see him, you know, deciding to stay the course, again, taking a Maxwell, an Edwards, a Del Negro. You know, he's not going to hate having a shooting guard. I don't know that it moves the needle for him. At pick number 15 is the Warriors. The Warriors are trying to build another, not a contender necessarily, they're trying to make a run, I guess I would call it. Around Tom Chambers and Byron Scott. They've got point guards, they've got shooting guards, they got Bagley, they got Scott, they got Chambers at power forward. This is another team where I could see if other teams have gone guards and there's some beef on the board, they could go for a Perdue or a Smits or a Smith or a Lang or a Manning. But I can also see them deciding, you know what, we need another young shooting guard slash small forward to go aside Chambers and Scott, and I can see them being happy with an Anderson, a Willie Anderson, Vinny Del Negro, Kevin Edwards, Gary Grant, Vernon Maxwell, that kind of group. And this is probably pick 15, where the last of the blue players is available, and so we're starting to get into the Willie Andersons of the world, who I think is an interesting prospect, being a green, so he's more advanced right now than some of the other players out there, the Vernon Maxwells, the Chris Morrises, the Vinny Del Negro. And so for a team like the Warriors that is trying to compete now around Chambers, they may not want to wait for these other guys with their blue potentials, so they might look at picking up a Willie Anderson. Maybe they could go for Charles Smith, but again, I think Charles is probably already gone as a green. Who knows? Next up is me, the Trailblazers. I'm just looking for a combo guard, quite honestly. I've got a lot of bigs. I've got good depth in the front court. I think, you know, Johnny Newman can slide up to cover James Worthy's spot. What I don't have is a good backup shooting guard slash small forward. If either one of those guys goes down, I need somebody else to step in. If Worthy goes down, I can move Newman up to small forward, and I need a shooting guard to step in. Or if Newman goes down, then I need a shooting guard to step in. So I'm going to be hoping one of these blue potential shooting guards falls to me. If not, I'm going to have to try to find somebody in that second tier. Again, you know, Willie Anderson being a green. Maybe Charles Smith is the guy, also a green. Even though he'd be a little bit big for a shooting guard. So that's the kind of player I'm looking for. I'm really looking to get a backup two, maybe a pinch starting two. Next up is the Bullets. So this is a team where I thought reading the tea leaves was fun. The Bullets, at the end of last season, put out the trading block for Magic Johnson. Then in the offseason, they traded for Jeff Rulond, and they traded for Kelly Trpiuka. They've got Sleepy Floyd. Rulon's 29. Trpiuka's 29. Floyd is 28. Magic's 28. What do you see here? I see here a team that did not get offered what they thought was just compensation for Magic, and so is going to try to spite the league by re-signing him and going all in this season to go kick butt and take names. So if you're asking me what are the Bullets trying to do, that's what they're trying to do, which means the Bullets are a team that is going to be picking with their pick for now. They're going to be looking for production now. So this is another team that could be looking at, you know, the Green Greens, the Willie Andersons, the Charles Smiths, the Andrew Langs. They're going to be trying to get a guy that contributes right now. And because Magic is so versatile, they can probably get him almost anywhere. Although I think they would like to be able to get him at power forward, because I guess Magic could play power forward, but that's kind of where they're empty. Trepuka is a little bit undersized as a small forward. Sleepy Foyd is a little bit undersized as a shooting guard. I think if they plug in Magic at point guard, they're probably good. But, you know, again, I think they would like to get kind of a big small forward, maybe a small power forward. So, again, a 6'8 Willie Anderson, who's listed as a shooting guard, or 6'10 Charles Smith, who's a power forward and probably plays more like a small forward. Those are guys I can see the Bullets going for. And the other thing, you know, that really makes me think they might take Charles Smith is they have a history of drafting guys that are excellent athletes, and he is an excellent athlete. So that's what I kind of see going on with the Bullets reading the tea leaves. The Rockets, 78. Has, to his credit, has shown up when it's been draft time. And if you look at the Rockets, you kind of see now with what Patrick Ewing is doing why everybody around the NBA in the 1985 lotto thought that the league was trying to rig it for the Knicks. Ewing has been absolutely amazing. Rolonda Blackman can score it. Frank Johnson is still on the team after he was dangled and the Hornets didn't bite. But I think that what 78 really would like to do is get a new point guard in there to run the show. And then the question is there anybody ready as a point guard right now? And the answer is, and this guy is likely to be on the board here, it's Avery Johnson. He's got 98 handles, 78 passing, 71 perimeter defense, 78 steals. He doesn't take shots away from Ewing. He's only got a 35 inside. Avery Johnson just feels like a great fit for the Rockets. He's more raw than they would like, absolutely. But if you look at where his skills are right now, he fits them like a glove. So if I were 78, Avery Johnson, I think, is the guy I'm targeting with my pick. We move on to the Bulls. The Bulls are a team that has also kind of tried to rebuild on the fly. They've added Eddie A. Johnson. Right now, they're looking, I think, for a true point guard. They would also be interested in Avery. If they can't get him, might they consider Scotty Brooks? They might. Scotty Brooks is not as good as Avery Johnson, but he is a little bit bigger. Not much bigger. He's only 5'11", but Avery's 5'10". But he's another guy that has a great handles rating. The passing isn't there yet, but could probably be improved with some points. He's got, he's kind of an Avery Johnson light. And so that's a guy I would keep an eye on for both of these teams is Scott Brooks. Next up would be the Jazz. The Jazz have a fairly empty team. It's Ainge, Elo, McDaniel, Rodman, Shays. They're probably just looking for a guy. If he's still on the board, I can see them going with Andrew Lang. They lost Kurt Rambis, which means they lost some of their interior presence. I think they're comfortable with the X-Man at small forward, with Elo at shooting guard, with Ainge at point guard. I don't think they're ready to take a flyer on some of these guys like Jim Les, who's just a three-point specialist. Anthony Bowie is a guy that... I mean, he's got a jump shot, but that's about it. And so I can see the Jazz looking in that direction. The Celtics are probably going to try to trade out of this pick. I don't think there's anything there that they really, really like. What they're just trying to get right now is depth. The other thing they're probably thinking about is what happens if Parrish or Cheeks takes another step back due to age. So again, some of the guys that we've talked about, the Scott Brookses, the Avery Johnsons at point guard, the Andrew Lang at center, those are guys they could go for. The Hawks, interesting team here. They've got their starting five. Cliff Robinson probably gets recast as a power forward, which he can do with his size and his rebounding. But, you know, what do the Hawks want off the bench? And if I'm the Hawks off the bench, I'm thinking, you know, what I like is some offensive pop off the bench. And there's really not likely to be a lot of offensive pop left. So maybe this is the team that looks at like an Anthony Bowie, who's got that good jump shooting, and will probably still be around because that's all he really brings to the table. The Hawks, you know, we're getting to the point where it's very useless to speculate because there's a million things that could happen above. But, you know, what does the team want? What does the team need? Coming back to the Suns, we talked about them before. They're probably just looking to add depth at this point. If I'm them and some of the point guards are around, it's probably a good time to grab a backup to Stockton. And finally, the Spurs, who just won the title, who are going to be bringing back Michael Jordan, don't really need anything. They're just going to be happy to pick up whoever is left and hope he can contribute. So there you have it. There's my mock draft, such as it is. I know in most spots I said there's probably two or three ways players could go. The one thing that I guess is kind of fun for me is looking at how deep this draft is. You wind up seeing 26 players of blue or green potential, which means when the Hornets come back around with pick 25 and the Clippers come around with pick 26, they're going to be able to get green potential guys. So maybe that's where Anthony Bowie and Jim Les, who are both 24 and have really no marketable skills, wind up. But I think it'll be the first time in a while that we've seen second-round picks that maybe guys don't want to cut right away. Anyway, that's how I see the draft shaking out. That's how I see the different players. Again, it's kind of a whole lot of just shooting guard / small forward depth this season. The interesting picks were at the top. I will be interested to see where Will Perdue, Rick Smits, Charles Smith, and Andrew Lang and Danny Manning go, because those are really the only five bigs in the draft. They're going to have to go somewhere. I think one or two of them gets picked as a reach simply because there's not good big man depth out there. And if that happens, there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to produce. So there you have it. We'll cut the show for now, and maybe we'll have a reaction or a free agency preview. We'll see what my schedule looks like. But that's it for this episode of Chat with a Cat. Thanks for tagging along.